Father, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. And Jeannie, before you take the kids next door, can I ask you to just, the kids can hang on just a second. I want to get a few of you to share a little bit about what your experience was from the evangelism conference. And I know that Jeannie was one of those who was touched by the conference. And so would you just share from just a reflection on what you think you learned or what you experienced this weekend?
Okay. Well, I came to the conference with much trepidation. I felt like I used to do evangelism. I don't know what happened to me. But anyway, I just spoke to children. I was a substitute teacher, and they were sort of harmless, I think. Anyway, and I had a great ministry at one time, and I haven't done that in a while. So when I came, I really felt like I wanted to do it, but my heart was like, I'm a sinner. I can't do this. I'm not in a good place with God. Anyway, so the first night, they just addressed that. And we came up for prayer, and they said, you know, God uses sinners, so I have no excuse. And so I listened throughout the whole weekend, and I just got a job at Shands, and I've already been told a couple of times not to talk about my faith and not to say God or Jesus, that's what the chaplains are for. And I'm on probation till I get hired there for sure, which is September 11th of all days. So anyway, what I got out of the conference, I think, is I'm noticing now opportunities to just, it's easy for me to say, what is your spirituality? What are your beliefs? And then whatever they say, okay, and then just tell them mine. And then I hope to know them well enough to invite them to church or to help them in some way. And I guess we have to be reminded, I think the lesson with the kids tonight is the burning bush. So this is like a huge burning bush. And then if you went to the debate, oh, my gosh, the Holy Spirit was there. Symbolism was used that was used in the conference. All of us have been through a lot, and it just confirmed that we're doing the right thing and we're on the right path, and I wish you all could have been there. And thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Jean. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. All right, now the children can go next door. So thank you, Jeannie. Anybody else want to just share sort of a reflection on some aspect of the evangelism conference? It's hard to follow Jeannie. She's very articulate, isn't she? Oh, come on. Nobody else? Sean.
This is sort of like, I don't watch the show, but Jay Leno does jaywalking. So it's sort of like jaywalking.
Okay.
Yeah, just right there.
Okay. Yeah, so I came on Friday evening. I'm a PhD student in religion. A lot of you know that. And Friday, I really was not looking forward to coming to church at all, just to be honest.
Yeah.
It had just been a very tiring week, and I was feeling really exhausted. But I thought, well, when I go, maybe I'll feel better once I get there. And I came Friday evening, and I really just was feeling pretty dead. And I have a Pentecostal background, but you know when you're in church and you're not really feeling like being there, and it's obvious that everyone else is really feeling something, it's almost a little bit of an annoying experience. Everyone had their, hands raised around me and so on, and it was making me feel more dead, like I was experiencing less of God than I even was. But then as the evening went on, and Dr. Green was sharing, I felt like God was speaking to me about, he was talking about the first time that Christians were called Christians, that occurred in Antioch, and it was outsiders who gave them that name, or outsiders, as you all say. And so I started thinking about that myself, because my middle name is Samuel, and I feel like God has spoken to me in the past about what that name means. That was going through my mind throughout the service after that point. And then at the very end, again, I was into the service at that point, but still not feeling emotional by any means or anything. And then at the very end, when we worshiped, they sang that song, "I Will Change Your Name." And it's the first time I can remember in a while where I cried in church, and despite myself. You know, I was not expecting that. And then the following song was another song that really spoke to me. So if you didn't get much out of Friday evening, that's because that entire evening was designed by God for me. But then the following night, we had the debate, and the moderator, John and I, had worked in collaboration on trying to find a moderator for the debate, which was not an easy process because we wanted someone who wasn't affiliated with this church or with Gator Free Thought. And so luckily I came across a friend in our program who kind of fit the bill, who was in between the two groups, I would say. But it was also, it was an experience of evangelism for me to even ask him to do that, because we've had quite a few conversations throughout our program about God, about Christianity. He, ironically enough, has attended an Episcopal church, even though he's very theologically liberal, even than the most liberal Episcopalians you can imagine. But we've had a good friendship. But I've never been really explicit about exactly what I think on certain theological issues. And part of that, I thought, was because I was being wise. You know, that verse about be wise as serpents and gentle as doves is very not easy being a Christian in a secular religion department. But that song that the Friday evening about, I will give you a new name. I don't remember the words exactly, but it was something like, no longer shall you be called outcast. Mm. I felt that evening like I had really been living in a lot of past hurts. That I was presently rehearsing a lot of those things. No longer shall you be called outcast, but you shall be called overcomer. Mm. And I don't remember all the words, but along those lines. Mm. So the moderator, Bernie, my friend, he said, so what's all this talk about this other conference that's been going on besides the debate? And I said, I wasn't really thinking, and I just came right out, and I said, well, it's an evangelism conference at our church. And I thought, oh, man, now it's out of the bag. Yeah, I've really labeled myself now. And he also found out for the first time that I'm in an Anglican church rather than an Episcopal church and all of the perceptions that come along with that. But what I realized is I was scared to be open and honest about exactly where I stood. Because I've been really scared of being an outcast in my own program, of not being accepted. So for me, the weekend was learning about being accepted by God and how that can empower us and free us to be really honest about who we are as Christians with others.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh. If you weren't there,
Over 600 people that showed up for this debate on Saturday night. Michael Green debated. We thought he was going to be an atheist. He ended up being an Episcopalian, and which is a little messier than an atheist, but it was good. We had a good conversation. I'm not joking at all. We had a good conversation, and it was a good debate. And literally, we know there were at least 40 students who could not physically get into the 500-seat auditorium that we had held the event, and so we know at least 40 had to be turned away. And just incredible questions, and just a sense of just the room was electric with just this debate. And Michael was so cordial. He was so whimsical. He was so full of the joy of the Lord, and not in the least bit antagonistic, not in the least bit upset by any of the things going on. And it was just such a neat place to really be authentic in who he is and what he believes. And it was just contagious to be around. So one other person, maybe one more person. I had no idea Sean was going to share. That was awesome. And Jeannie kind of grabbed already. But maybe one more person that would share, just for those that didn't get to come. I know life is busy. Others didn't get to be there. Ralph.
I was a little like Sean Friday evening. Once Dr. Green began to speak, I thought, wow, you know, I've been involved in understand evangelism and evangelism training, and to have somebody so down to earth and practical and precise was really refreshing. And the group that that he brought with him were spectacular people, well-grounded, and anyway, it was just made it a very, very worthwhile Saturday session. Sorry to see it get over to the end. It was so good. So, and then the public talk on Sunday evening. I went out and I printed up invitations and took them out to about 15 of my neighbors. None of them came, but at least I identified myself a little more clearly as to who I am and where I'm coming from, and extended some friendships and met some new folks. So I commend that. And that was well received. Nobody slammed the door, so they weren't that way.
Mm. Awesome. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, sir. Well, I wanted you to share this because, again, I know that a lot it was hard to get there. And perhaps even the thought of an evangelism conference is still tough for you to kind of think about. I mean, it is we have been conditioned to be so afraid to really share where we are and where we come from. And it is one of those things that will probably be something we need to continue to readdress and keep bringing the body back along and keep bringing in teaching that will continue to stimulate us to the need for evangelism, the how to evangelize, the getting comfortable with sitting down with somebody who has a very, very different worldview and saying, hey, as Jeannie said, tell me about your spirituality. Are you a spiritual person? What does it mean? You know, what is the meaning of life for you? And then to listen. I had an interesting experience. I got some names of some students who were interested in having some sort of a seeker Bible study after the debate. And actually, people who came on Sunday night, we had about 8 students that seemed to be unattached to a church, probably most of them not even consider themselves Christians, who were willing to give us their names, or at least they were willing to give Carrie. Remember Carrie Bourne? She was the pretty dark-headed woman that she was actually in a couple of movies, and anyway, so maybe that had something to do with them willingness to give them their names and numbers, but she gathered that information, and so I went and had coffee with one of these young guys, and he was a graduating philosophy major from UF, and I don't want to share too much, because it was a private conversation between the two of us, but I want you to know that in the course of this weekend, God has rekindled something in my heart. I relate to what Jeannie said at the beginning. Didn't know she was going to say it. But I used to do evangelism, and somehow I've moved away from it. But this weekend, it was rekindled in my heart. And I got to believe that part of it is because I still have a heart for him. It's not that I don't believe any less. I believe more. So I'm more convinced of the gospel. But I got to look at where my time has gone and what has crowded in to cause that fire to be present to people sitting in coffee shops talking about Socrates and all kinds of things. What has changed? So I want to tell you that I don't know what profound effect it's had in all of you who got to come. I think you can hear in these three that have shared different things that have been profound. But let me tell you that as your pastor, boy, I am not the same guy that I was on Friday night. In so many ways, I feel like the Lord is beginning to really gear me up for this fall and gear me up for the next phase of our ministry together as servants of Christ. And I got to tell you, I'm really, really excited. I'm nervous, but I'm excited. Because I feel like, to some extent, we've looked over the hedge, you know, at this university. Some of you work there. Some of you live there. And Santa Fe and to this community, and we've looked over the hedge and with fear and trembling, we followed Michael Green, you know, in front of 600 or more people, some of whom are really antagonistic to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet we have found that there's a world that we can be in dialogue with and that we can be light. And that there are people who want to hear your story. This guy, guys, wanted to hear my meaning of life. Wanted to hear my story. Wants to get together again. Had never read the Bible. That's just shocking to me. How do you graduate from the University of Florida without ever reading the gospel? And ever reading the Bible at all? Never read a Bible. So I feel like that we've looked over the hedge and we can see what Jesus said was a harvest. Not everybody is going to respond, but there are many who want to hear, and there are many who we can engage with and we can be salt and light to, and we can share the gospel. The question is, are we ready to move forward? The analogy I come to is a terrible one, because I know in this PC age we're living in, you're not supposed to talk about war. But it's the only analogy, I prayed with it for like 4 days, and the only one I can come up with is an army can only advance as far as its supply lines will carry it. An army moves on its stomach, right? That's that, right? From my military guys back in the back there, right? So no matter what fighting force you have up front, if the supply lines aren't there, if the lines of support and the resources aren't in line, you can only go so far. Now forget that that's a war analogy, if that's troublesome to you. But we're on the brink here, but we've got to decide, do we really want to advance? Now I'm here to tell you, I'm ready to go. I love it. I love to interact with unbelievers. I love to do it. I love 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 to get in situations where I don't really know what I'm going to say, and I'm not even sure if I'm talking right, you know, but I'm engaging and I'm getting a chance to share about Jesus Christ. I got the bug. I don't know. Maybe I have the spirit of evangelism. I don't know, but I'm ready to do it. But I need you to come along. Not all of us will be upfront evangelist guys or gals. Some of us will. One of the things Artie Hart said to me on Saturday night, Artie was involved, Vineyard was involved with us. Artie said, when an anointed prophet or an evangelist or a teacher comes in and deposits something, there is something that remains. I don't think the most important thing that happened was what Michael Green said. I think it was the spirit of evangelism and an awakening, again, for some of us, to this call to be authentic and to be vulnerable and to be out there and let God do His thing. I have found was one of the profound things we learned. Very easy. I have found. You get an opening to talk about God, all you have to say is, I have found that Jesus Christ has made all the difference. And fill in the blank, whatever the situation is. Most any of us could do that. The Hebrews passage tonight is a call to keep Jesus central and keep moving forward. And it seems to fit in here. And I'm not going. We've done the testimony. I'm not going to go down verse by verse. But I want you to know that the context to the Hebrew writer. The Hebrews writer is a person who has been a leader of this church. They are Jewish Christians. They are living away from Jerusalem. And they are being asked by other Jewish people to return back to the Holy Land, back to Jerusalem, and defend the temple and the city of Jerusalem against those who would destroy them and destroy the Jewish faith. All right? We know that at some time in the first 100 years of the church, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is, but we're pretty certain that it is into this context of, you know, will you come back, almost like an early crusade, will you come back and help fight for Jerusalem? And the writer of Hebrews commends to the Hebrew church that he's writing, no, don't go back. Go forward. Your future does not lie back in the holy city Jerusalem and the temple and the rituals and all that filled up your days and nights as temple-keeping Jews back home. That is not your future. The Hebrews writer says, instead, your future is to stay close to Jesus, to imitate those who imparted the faith, to be evangelists is what he's really talking about. Be with those, continue with to imitate those who brought you the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He commends them to be strengthened in the life of grace. To, you know, what Sean shared so eloquently, this idea of acceptance by God. And what a difference it makes when we live out of us a reality that we have been received by God, that we've been accepted by God. And that changes everything. That being strengthened in the life of grace, rather than being pulled back and held down by all sorts of things, that as the writer of Hebrews says, even those who attend to those things can't come to the altar that we get to come to. The altar of the grace of Jesus Christ. He does call them, thirdly, to go out outside the city gates. He uses the whole analogy of the sacrifice, and he says, but the sacrificed animal is taken outside the city gates. And guess what? That's where Jesus was taken. That's where Jesus suffered for us. That's where he was crucified for us. So we need to go outside the city to where Jesus is. For we don't look for an enduring city, but we look for the city that is to come, the new Jerusalem. Guys, we can be like other churches. We can huddle in and we can build a building and we can settle into routines and customs and take care of our own. Or we can go outside the city walls with Jesus. We can take His reproach. And there will be times when we will be reproached. But we go with His graceful message. We go in the peace of Jesus Christ. We go knowing that it's Him who has sanctified us by His own blood, as the writer of Hebrews says. We've got to go forward. And then the last part. Through Him, then, can you see it's like, no, don't go back to Jerusalem. Stay with Jesus. Keep Jesus central. Keep being an evangelist for Jesus. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Here's the deal. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, there was something called a sacrifice of praise. And a sacrifice of praise was a sacrifice you made once your sin offering had been received. In other words, once you had come to the temple and you had offered up your sacrificial lamb or your dove or whatever you could afford and your sins were forgiven, then you could offer up a thank offering. The writer of Hebrews says our whole lives should be a thank offering. We should be motivated out of that thankfulness, out of that appreciation for what Christ has done for us. And that should compel us to go out and to bring in. Ted, this morning when I said that, we should be motivated by appreciation. Ted said, yeah, and we should appreciate being an accountant, appreciate in our service. We should look to do more and more in response to what Christ has done for us. And what does the writer of Hebrews do? He takes that, it's not just worship in the temple he's referring to, but it is, do not, he says, the last verse, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for with such sacrifices is God pleased. Here's the thing. We need to be more and more seeking to serve, to share, and to do good in the name of Christ. There was a woman at the hospital who was ministering to Ed Nolan, who we were praying for. And Ed is very sick. We are still praying for his leg. He's lost a lot of muscle, and we need to pray that that muscle rebuilds and that Ed does not lose his leg. It's a complication from a heart surgery he had. So a bunch of us were there late last on Friday night praying for him, and this woman came in. And it was so cool to be able to talk to this woman, and she asked me to pray for her, and we invited her to church, thought she might come, which would have messed up my sermon ending, but that's okay. If she'd have showed up, I'd have figured out something else to say. But, you know, but what was neat was that as I was talking to her and finishing up with her, I said to her, look, I don't know what kind of church you need. She came out of a Baptist tradition. I said, but if you need a place to land, if you need some people who can love and pray for you and support you until you get through this next little bumpy part of your life, let me tell you, our church will do that. A lot of people could not stand up and tell somebody that about their church. A lot of ministers. You'd be wondering, okay, unless so-and-so or so-and-so mentioned the door, this may not go so good, you know? I could say that with complete confidence. As we move into the fall, as God continues to stir these fires of evangelism and a need to reach out, what I need from you is to commit yourself to service of appreciation, of sacrifices of praise, of being a part of that supply line, of being that system. You see, we can move out, we can minister to people, but we need them to have relationships when they move back in. We need people to nurture their faith if they come to faith. We need people to build small groups and to incorporate people in. We need people that can organize and meet physical needs of the people who are coming. We need to be able to support these that we're bringing to faith in Christ. We need to be able to reach out and minister and draw in those that God is drawing to us. I think it's what the Lord wants us to do. But we've all got to step up. We've all got to step up, and we've all got to. And one of the things that will free us up is that, like the writer of Hebrews is saying, we can be set free from all that stuff that's not filled in the life of grace. Don't do anything out of a sense of obligation or out of shame. You know, put away from things. If nobody wants to acolyte, fine, we won't have acolytes. But by all means, if someone who comes in the door wants to be a follower of Jesus, love and embrace them and take them in. And help me disciple them and minister to them. Next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about learning our gifts, the importance of small groups, and it's going to be gut check time. I'll just be honest. It's going to be, can we take a step forward? That's what this small group leadership training is about. We need places for new folks to land and get loved on. And it's not that hard. Jody and I did it when we were 22, 23. You can do it. I can teach you how. Something has begun. And we have the opportunity to move forward in what Jesus is doing. What the Hebrews writer is urging the people to do is not circle back. Don't go back. I want to be known as the most unorthodox, unconventional, unpretentious, improper church in the world. As long as we meet people, share Christ with them, and not embarrass Jesus. Can we do that? Absolutely. We're already doing it. And we can do more. Pray with me.
Gracious God, thank you for your deposits of wisdom and your spirit of evangelism, Lord. A call to serve the people that you bring into our path. Lord, thank you for hearts of compassion that fill this place, Lord. We pray now, Father, that you might just show us how to extend our lines of battle, Lord, and how to go beyond where we've gone before. Lord, bring the strategists forward. Bring the implementers forward, Lord. Show us those who are ready to serve. Give us, Lord, discernment for our gifts that we might operate in them and that we might advance your kingdom. Lord, we give you thanks for the way you used many, many in this room and many that aren't in this room, Lord, to bring off this evangelism conference. Lord, let that be a sign of what you can do in and through us. And we promise to give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.